Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 16. Now as he, speaking of Jesus, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you'd bless the message, dear Lord, and stir us in this very important, Lord, area of becoming fishers of men. Lord, thank you for the opportunities that we've been given this year, dear Lord. We see it beginning to wind down now. And, Lord, next year, dear God, if you tarry, opportunities, increased opportunities here at the church, Lord, we want to be a church filled with men and women and teenagers and children that understand what it means to be fishers of men. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. What a story. We're going to talk about it. All through the Bible, we find mentioned again and again one member of God's creation that has played a key role in the history of mankind. Again and again, fish are found in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God create fish for man's usage. God giving mankind dominion over the fish of the sea. And I'm glad one of the creations that God created for us to enjoy were fish. I'm one of these people that if I go to a restaurant and I see that they have and it looks like a good fish and chips dinner, I'll probably end up ordering fish and chips. I like fish. In Genesis chapter 9, we see the post-flood civilization that sprung from Noah and his children are given fish as one of their main food supplies. History and archaeology teach us that most of the people groups that sprung up after the flood settled along the seacoast or freshwater lakes and rivers. Why? Because of the fish that they could harvest in those areas. In Exodus chapter 7, when God sent Moses to judge a stiff-necked and hard-hearted Pharaoh, one of his judgments involved turning the river Nile to blood, and we see the results in verse 21, and the fish that was in the river died and the river stank. This judgment not only affected their fresh water supply, it also killed off their main food supply. Exodus chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 4, the children of Israel were forbidden to make graven images and forbidden specifically in sculpturing one such idol in particular, and that being one that would resemble a fish. God mentioned this specifically because many pagan people groups worshiped the fish because of the importance it was to sustaining their communities. One of the gates in Jerusalem, by the way, was known as the Fish Gate. God once created a great fish for the express purpose of swallowing a backslidden prophet by the name of Jonah. It was one of the few times in history where a fish actually caught a man. So how about that? In the Gospels, Jesus used fish and fishermen often in his parables. Twice he miraculously multiplied fish and bread to feed a great multitude. Of the 12 men that he called to personally train as his disciples, we know that at least four were fishermen. Think about that. One-third of them were fishermen. Two different times in the Gospels, he directed fishermen to fish in a place where they caught a miraculous number of fish. Jesus was no stranger to the sea. He preached from a fishing boat. Once he's found frying fish to feed his hungry, and at that time, John chapter 21, backslidden disciples. I say all this to make a simple point, that Jesus, when Jesus, the creator of all things, including fish, when he spoke of fish, he knew exactly what he was talking about. In our passages, we see that Jesus lays down an astonishing challenge to four professional fishermen. Jesus says this to them, come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now this morning I want to place this challenge under a spiritual microscope and see if the same challenge, would that same challenge be for us today? Now imagine you're one of these ancient fishermen. Imagine your initial reaction to such a challenging and somewhat bizarre invitation. Okay, you're in your boat, you're casting your nets, and suddenly someone wants you to forsake everything you know and everything you've ever done. Not for a moment, not for an hour, not for a day, but to drastically alter the main focus of your life for the rest of your life. Imagine you are James or John, and you are on the shore mending your nets, and again, this man, many say, who is the Messiah, is suddenly standing there beside you, standing over you. And here's what he says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." There's only one thing to me that's really more amazing than this divine invitation. I think the thing that amazes me most is the response of these four fishermen. The Bible says, "And straightway they forsook all and followed him." Now, I think we can learn from this story what it takes to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I tell you this morning what it takes to want to be effectively and efficiently become a soul winner? Can I tell you what it takes to be used of God to win people to Christ? Can I tell you what it takes to become employed in the greatest of all endeavors, rescuing sinners and keeping people out of hell? I believe this invitation and the accepting of this invitation teaches us something that's more important than anything that we can do on this earth in a temporal realm, because we're this morning talking about the eternal. So let's take a look at these four disciples and let's learn some from them this morning. All right, preacher, they did, and by the way, study their lives. Andrew, Peter, James, John, they did become fishers of men. Those four men combined saw hundreds, if not thousands, of people come into the kingdom of God because they were willing to accept a simple invitation. Here it is again, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Okay, so how do we get to where they ended up? Number one, we have to have the faith to accept the invitation. Now think about that. Jesus offers you an opportunity. He gives you an invitation. So he's placed before us a chance, an opportunity to participate in something with him and learn something from him. Here is the invitation that I want you to entertain, and I hope that you'll accept this morning. God also wants you to become fishers of men. Fishers of men. Now think about that. It takes some faith. It took some faith on their part. They stepped away from everything. And they said, from now on, this is going to be the main thing, the focal point of my life. Now folks, God may not ask you to quit your job to be a fisher of men full time, but I should say this, that this endeavor and this challenge should supersede any temporal goals that we have in this life. Let me say it plain. The number of people that you get to the Lord Jesus Christ is infinitely more important than the amount of money that you make on this earth. Or what kind of car you drive, or what kind of house that you live in. Because these things are all temporal. We're going to be here in a space of a vapor, but we'll face eternity and the judgment seat one day with what we did with this invitation. So it takes some faith to step out. You know, I remember years ago when I was just a teenager here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Mom and my dad invited a missionary, a young missionary, a young single missionary fresh out of Bible college by the name of John Hines. And he came and presented his work. And this would have been back right about the time I was 16 years of age. And we used to have what we called 6 o'clock teen hour or teen training hour, and downstairs we'd go, and this missionary was going to speak to the teenagers at 6 o'clock before he preached in the morning service or the evening service. And he told the story of how he was staying down here at the Park Inn in Linton. And you know, John Himes, by the way, I've grown to love him. Amen. But as a 15-16 year old guy, if you'd have seen him, he was fresh out of Bible college. He looked like he was about 16. He was still fighting acne. He had these real thick glasses. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He really looked like a nerd. And he's standing there, and, you know, cocky bunch of teenage boys looking at this guy like, seriously, this is our missionary? And he tells about how he's staying down there at the Park Inn. And he said, guys, this afternoon, he said, I came out and wanted to take a little bit of a walk in the Park Inn there in Linton, of course, is right beside the city park. And he said, I noticed some boys over there playing basketball, two or three boys. And he said, I went over there and played with them a little bit. And then we sat down on a bench there and a picnic table. And he said, I took out my New Testament and I began to talk to them about the Lord. Now, folks, you got to remember at this point in my life, this whole thing of soul winning was kind of a new idea. And I sat there and watched this guy, and here I was kind of looking at him and honestly looking down on him a little bit. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started convicting me, and I said, you know what? That guy has the guts to do something you've never done. Come on now. And you know what? Here he is. Maybe he don't look like much, but he had enough guts to go down there and talk to three or four guys he'd never met before and sit at a table. And by the way, he knew enough to be able to open the Bible and show them how to go to heaven. And he told the story, and he said, you know, at the end of that time, we got to sit there, and he said, they had some really interesting questions I was able to answer from the scripture, but he said, by the time I got done with them, it was obvious that they understood, and they were under conviction, and they were ready to be saved. And he said, you know, they prayed there, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wow. I mean, right there in the park? You're just sitting in the park on a picnic bench? And you stop some guys, and you sit down, and you open a Bible, and, I mean, they were going to hell, and by the time you get done talking to them, they're on their way to heaven. Are you kidding me? And again, folks, at that point in time, I think the farthest thing from my mind was the idea that I could ever do something like that. But I think I heard somewhere in my heart the voice of Jesus saying, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. At the end of his lesson, he bowed and asked us to pray. And I'll tell you what I prayed in my heart that day. I'll tell you what I prayed in my heart. It wasn't an invitation. It wasn't a high-pressure situation, but it was just the Lord dealing with me. And I'll tell you what I prayed that day. I said, Lord, you know what? I don't think I probably ever could. But one time in my life, before I die, I'd like to win one person to Jesus Christ. Now, that was the scope of my vision at that time. You know, folks, I wasn't called to preach. I didn't know how to be a soul winner. I wasn't good at public speaking. I didn't know any of these things. I didn't know how to take a Bible and show somebody. But you know what? Just you know what that was? That was a prayer of faith. Just a prayer of faith. It was just like my first step in that direction. Jesus says, come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And you know what they had to do? Watch this. They had to stand up and they had to take the first step. The first step. For a lot of Christians, you know what the first step is to getting somebody saved? Is just stopping at the back door and picking up a handful of gospel tracts. How about that? Well, preacher, I don't know anything about taking the Bible and I don't really know how to talk to people, but man, the next time we go out to eat, I could leave a gospel tract laying with the tip. Yes, you could. By the way, leave a decent tip if you're going to leave a gospel tract, okay? If you're not going to leave a decent tip, then get some Bethel Baptist Church tracts. Leave it with them, all right? But don't use Blessed Hope tracts, all right? But are you listening to me? I'm talking about this a step of faith. But preacher, I don't think I could ever, and I remember exactly how you feel. Because I didn't either. But I thought, man alive, if I could just stand before God one day, here I am, you know, 15, 16, and this was my grand vision. If I could just stand before God and there'd be one other person in heaven that was there because God used me to show them the way. Boy, that to me was like, that was the ultimate. And so I took that first step. What was that step? It was just bowing my head in a teen training hour. It was just whispering a simple prayer. It was just saying, Lord, would it be possible one time, maybe, somehow? So many unanswered questions, so much I didn't know about it. But you know what? God saw that step of faith. I remember going shortly after that, Brother Jack, Sister Penny was our youth leaders in those days, and they took us down in the winter to the winter retreat down there at Tennessee Temple University. And Man alive, those were grand days. We got some fun stories from that. I mean, I don't think we ever took a trip where the bus didn't break down. We were praying that the bus would break down. You know, it was fun and games to us. And had a great time. But Ron Comfort, who I brought to the pulpit here. Ron Comfort got up and preached. And boy, he challenged us in this matter of soul winning. And then the last message he preached was a message on the crucifixion. And he's one of these guys that, man, I wish I had the ability. He went from the time Jesus was arrested until he said it is finished. And I mean, he described all of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the physical sufferings, the mental anguish, the spiritual battle that he was fighting. I mean, the worst thing, folks, about Calvary wasn't the nails and it wasn't the spear and it wasn't the crown of thorns. The worst thing to Jesus was becoming sin. He who knew no sin became sin. And he's standing up there and he describes the physical suffering. He said it in words I could never say. And I'm going to tell you, I felt like for the first time in my life, I was standing there watching Jesus die. And then I thought to myself, if Jesus was willing to do that for me, I mean, shouldn't I be willing to tell people about it? And folks, this isn't a call to preach. This wasn't God calling me into the ministry. That was the farthest thing from my mind at that point. But I walked up and knelt down at an altar and said, Lord, you know what? You weren't ashamed. You weren't ashamed to be shamed for me. And I've been ashamed of you. And I need it. Lord, I need your help. I'm not courageous. I'm not bold by nature. But Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of being a Christian. I want to be able to tell people that what you did for them and what you did for me. And so, Lord, help me to do it. And by the way, when I came back from that trip, Mom and Dad, we live down here at the parsonage where the Youngs are staying now. And as soon as I got back, I talked to my dad and I said, Dad, you know, we've got Thursday night visitation, men's visitation at that time, Thursday night men's visitation. We didn't have teen soul winning or any of that. And I said, Dad, do you think that maybe I could go with you this Thursday? And he looked kind of surprised. He said, absolutely. And you know what I did? I got dressed Thursday night and got my New Testament and got some tracts and didn't know a thing. By the way, didn't know a thing about it. But you know what it was? Listen, folks, I'm talking about steps of faith. Okay? I'm talking about just bowing my head and saying, Lord, maybe one time before I die. I'm talking about responding at a youth meeting and getting on my knees and saying, God, I can't be ashamed of you anymore. Not after what you did. I can't be ashamed of you. You got to help me. I'm talking about going to my dad and saying, Lord, or Dad, could I just tag along? And you know what? I started going with different men in the church. I went with Charles English. I went soul winning many times with Don Maurer. I went soul winning with my dad. I went soul winning with other men that were attending the church at that time. And you know what? I learned a little bit from this one, a little bit from that one. And I didn't know enough to talk and told him, man, don't ask me to say anything. You know, don't do that. And Brother Don said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And I said, good. So he goes to a door. He knocks on the door. We're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He asked them whether or not they're saved. They said they're not. And then he looked at me and said, well, Jerry here wants to show you how to be saved. You know, he's the kind of guy that throws you in the deep end of the pool, you know. And he doesn't take you to swimming lessons. He just said, bah! Swimmer sink, bro. And I went, what? But thank God. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about just taking us. You know what? Those men, listen, long before Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached and 3,000 people were saved. Are you listening to me? Long before that happened, he was just a fisherman. And he heard, come follow me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. And you know what he had to do? He had to take that first step. Listen, folks, I want to encourage everybody in here. Listen to me. Are you saved? You born again? You know what? Whether or not you know it or not or understand it or not, God wants to enlist you in this matter of reaching other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no greater thing to be involved in all of the world. I mean, you know, if you say, Brother Ross, tell me about the greatest accomplishments that God's allowed you to do on this earth, I cannot think of anything that's higher than bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honor, what a privilege. But I had to take that step of faith. Listen, we're going to be, I wish I could tell you all about it, and I will in the weeks to come, but in 2017, we're going to offer some soul winning training opportunities. And so, listen, I'm not talking about just classroom. I'm talking about out on the street. I'm talking about some of you that are saying, preacher, I want to do this. I just don't know how to do this. And you know what, though? Listen, we can offer everything in the world, but you got to take that step. You got to say, Lord, you help me to do it. I'm going to go to the first meeting. I'm going to go and be that silent partner. I'm going to practice this. I'm going to learn this. By God's grace, I'm going to do it. And I think if we as a church corporately would get a burden about this idea, listen, folks, it's not time to sit on the sideline. You know what? Jesus Christ is coming soon. Are you kidding me? Look around. And I believe that I'm preaching to the rapture generation, and I'm honestly, I used to be shocked at the end of every year that Jesus hasn't come back. I'm honestly to the point where I'm shocked at the end of every day that he didn't come back today. So you got to take that first step, that first step. You know why I went to Bible college? I'm just sharing testimony, folks, but I want you to understand that the journey that I'm inviting you to take is a journey that I've taken. And you know what? I started not knowing anything, and I took the steps of faith. But you know why I went to Bible college for 1 year? It wasn't because I was called to preach. When I made the decision to go a year of Bible college, God had not called me to preach yet. My dad took us to a Sword of the Lord conference, and I heard Jack Hiles preach. He was one of the preachers, and he mentioned in the course of his message that he had a Bible college. And he started listing some of the opportunities, and one of the things he was started talking about was something called a fisherman's club. And I figured out that what it was was basically a ministry opportunity where people who were experienced at soul winning could take someone who didn't know much about soul winning and teach them how to be a soul winner. And I'm talking about before God ever called me to preach. When the session ended, I went around, found the table where his college was. I picked up a catalog and I read through it, and I found the section on Fisherman's Club. And I read all about it. Folks, I didn't look at the credits. I didn't look at the classes. I didn't look at the majors or the minors. You know what I looked at? I ought to go to Bible college for no other reason than 1 year so I can go with somebody that is really good at soul winning that could teach me to be really good at soul winning. That was it. So I load up and I go to Bible college. And they put you in a registration line. And by the way, those of you that were there in those days, the registration line was, I mean, you got into it and you were clean shaven by the time you got done. You had a beard about this long. I mean, it was the craziest, longest, most unorganized. I don't know what they were doing. But you just stood forever in line. And you just went to this table and they'd ask you some questions. And they'd go to this table, and then you had to fill out this form. And you went to this table, and then they ask you more questions. And you know what? No matter what question they asked me at every table, I only had one answer: Fisherman's Club. And say, what's your major going to be? Fisherman's Club. No, you don't have a major's Fisherman's Club. Well, I came to go because I want to go to Fisherman's Club, you know. And so when I finally, after going through all of that, I finally got to the table where ministries, you could select ministries. Oh, finally. Fisherman's Club. Listen, you know what, folks? If God had never called me to preach, I would thank God to this day that I took a year of my life and went up and learned every single week being trained how to be a soul winner. Listen, young people, I say this often, but God's not going to call everybody into full-time Christian service. And God's not going to call everybody to be a missionary and be an evangelist or be a preacher or a preacher's wife. But I'm going to tell you this, he's not only called, he's commanded all of us to be fishers of men. He's invited us to participate in that. And you know what, folks, as a layman, you can be responsible of seeing hundreds of people come to the Lord Jesus. How about that? But it starts, where does it start? It starts with a prayer downstairs at the end of a missionary presentation. It starts with a trip to an altar at a youth conference. It starts with, hey, Dad, care if I tag along? It started with going with men that knew what they were doing here and then going on and getting advanced training. So, because you know what? I decided that the most important thing I could accomplish with my life was trying to get other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I made a decision to be a lifelong soul winner before God ever called me to preach. And I'm going to tell you this, that ought to be the decision everybody makes here today. That you know what, I can do this thing, but it takes a step of faith. Number one, faith to accept the invitation. Number two, obedience to the inviter. Jesus gives the command to follow. Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now folks, listen to me. The only way that you're going to learn to become a fisher of men is to follow Jesus. What an example. Think about that. Jesus is our greatest example in everything, but especially in this matter of becoming a soul winner. Follow me, follow me, follow me, he said. Folks, listen to me. I thought about this when I was meditating on this point this week, and I thought, you know what? Whoever you're following, that's who you will one day become. Whoever you're following, that's who one day you'll become. And you tell me today who you're following, and I can pretty much tell you what you're going to end up being. Hey, why not choose Jesus? Amen. Why not choose Jesus? You know what, folks? Watch this. You say, preacher, why should we stay? I'm going to tell you the decisions I made early in my life and why it has resulted in me being used of the Lord to bring a lot of people to Christ. You know, Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. You know why Paul was able to say that? Because Paul was a soul winner. Okay, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you hung around Paul, let me tell you something, you learned how to be a soul winner. Now let me tell you what I made a decision. I'm talking about at 16, 17 years of age. Here's the decision-making process. Okay, by faith, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to become a fisher of men. But by obedience, I'm going to follow people who are fishers of men. That's the crowd I'm going to hang with. By the way, that's the kind of church I'm going to become a part of. I want to come a part of a church where, you know what, the pastor and the emphasis from the pulpit and the people, their main emphasis is this matter of, watch this, get people to Jesus, get people to Jesus, get people to Jesus, get people to Jesus. And you know what? That's what I decided. I wanted to go to a Bible college where, you know what, the most important thing there that was taught and emphasized, get people to Jesus, become fishers of men, become fishers of men, become fishers of men. And so we have to, if we're going to, listen, it starts by faith, but folks, listen to me, faith without obedience is empty. And so you know what he said? He said, if you want to become fishers of men, you got to follow me. And so for 3 years, they followed Jesus. And you know what? If you'll take a look at those 3 years, folks, yeah, God used them from time to time, and he even used them to do some amazing things. But I had never counted it and figured it up, but I'm not sure there weren't more disciple blunders than there were successes. But you know what? They were training. That's what it's about. It's about learning. Obedience to the inviter. He says, hey, follow me, follow me. I want to ask you a question. Who are you following? Who's got your heart? Who's got your mind? Who's got your ear? Yes, sir. Listen, you know what? When in doubt, go see a soul winner. Okay? If you're taking advice from people whose life does not revolve around this idea of bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're getting advice from the wrong people. If you hang around people that don't care about souls, you're going to become a person that doesn't care about souls. But you know what I decided? I decided, you know what? I'm going to always sit under a preacher that's concerned about souls. And you know what? He don't just talk about it. He does it. And folks, look right up here. And I don't say this because at some point, though, I've got to build credibility in some of your minds and some of your hearts, okay? I mean, in the last 10 years, through public preaching and personal soul winning, I've got to see 1,200 people come to Christ. Okay, so why are you wanting to go somewhere else to church? Because something's more important to you than soul winning, than souls. I mean, this whole thing, listen, it's got to boil down to something. You know why I learned to do that? because I decided I was going to follow people that were soul winners. And I followed people that were soul winners until I became a soul winner. And now I've got a right to look at my congregation and say, follow me. Amen. As I follow Christ. Amen. Yes, sir. And by the way, in 2017, like I said, I mean, I'm not talking about delegating this. I'm talking about I'll do it personally. I feel like I need to. But folks, listen to me. I believe the unrealized potential of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in this matter of soul winning is just amazing. And I'm going to lay the groundwork during the month of December, and we're going to train heavily in January and February, and we're going to launch some of the neatest soul-winning training ministries starting in March. I mean, folks, listen to me. It's going to take some teaching. And by the way, I can set it all up, and I can give all the opportunity, but somebody by faith has got to step out. Somebody in obedience has got to say, you know what? If you know, don't come to me and say, well, preacher, if you do it at a different time, because you know what? I've changed to every possible time under the sun, and it don't matter what time you schedule what. If it's important to you, you'll find a way to be there. You'll find a way to do it. But I'm talking about, hey, think about that. Think about John Himes. He's sitting at a park, and he looks over, and guys are playing basketball, and he goes down and engages them in conversation and talks to them and opens a Bible and explains to them about salvation, and those young men are saved. Are you thinking about this? I mean, what better thing can you give your life to? What better thing is there than that? I mean, where are you going where you're going to learn more about it than here? So this is it. This is what this church is about. Okay? If this isn't what you want, then go. There's plenty of churches that don't give a hoot. There's plenty of places you can go and just tread water. But you know what? This is the place. Listen, folks, there is one main soul winning station in this Tri-County area, and you're sitting in the congregation of it. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. And so how about obedience to the inviter? God, Jesus gives the command to follow, but somebody's got to decide to follow. How about this? Number three, patience to be molded. I love the way Jesus phrased this, because this is encouragement to all of us. Look again at verse number 17. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become. I love that. I will make you to become. So what's he saying? He's saying, listen, it's going to take some time. We're talking about growth in grace. It's a process. Okay, sometimes it's three steps forward and two steps backwards. We all have to grow, and at times we're all going to struggle, and at times we're going to stumble. But listen, we must never quit, never quit. You know why? Because growing in the Lord and growing in grace requires patience. And you get involved in this process, and preacher, I just don't have the personality for it, and I don't have the time for it. And you know, you can make all the excuses, and I'm not cut out to do this, and I tried it, and it didn't work, and I knocked on a door, and somebody was mean to me. And you know what Jesus said? I will make you to become. But it takes patience. You know what, folks, listen to me. I haven't arrived. I honestly believe that I have not come near my God-given potential. That's what I believe. Because if I didn't believe it, I'd get satisfied. Okay? And so, you know what? Remember the children? They sing the song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. I love this first verse. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. Brother Ross, are there any unfinished products at your church? Well, I've looked around and checked it out, and I can't find any of the members who've arrived yet. And honestly, if you've got the mentality, you come in here, and you know, we've got a lot of new folks that come in, and you've kind of got the mentality of, preacher, you know what? I'm pretty much where I'm going to be. I'm pretty much where I want to be. I don't really want to advance any farther in my Christian life. I kind of feel comfortable with where I am. Can I tell you this? I'm going to irritate you. I am going to be, you are going to be so frustrated sitting in this church. Because my job is not to let you get comfortable. or to let me get comfortable. And I think to myself, you know what, good night, all that God wants to do. You young people, listen to me. There's a reason that the devil works as hard as he does to go after Blessed Hope kids. You know why? Because of the amazing potential that you have for souls. If you give your whole life or a lifetime at it, being trained where you've been trained, no wonder he goes hard after our kids. But you know what? Hey, it's all right. I will make you to become. I went to Fisherman's Club. I learned to be a soul winner. Not great, but I learned how. Got to win some people to Christ. Next thing you know, the leader of the Fisherman's Club taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, you've been a trainee. I'm going to make you a trainer. And all of a sudden, this weight of responsibility, because, man, I know how to do it, but now you want me to teach somebody else how to do it? That's how it's done. You know why it's important for you to learn how to win souls? Because not only do you know how to win souls, but now you know how to train somebody else to win souls. And that's how we keep this thing going. Every generation passing it down to, so you know what? The new semester started, the new year, the new freshmen, they're joining Fisherman's Club, and here all of us upperclassmen that are now trainers, and we are going to have some trainees, and so they give every one of us a trainee, and we all have one trainee, and there is one kid left. You know, it's like when you pick in softball, the kid that's left, you know, come on, how many of you used to be that kid, all right? All right, it's all right. And you know, there's the kid that's left. And everybody's happy because, you know, it's hard enough training somebody. I don't want to train more than one, and yet there's one extra guy, and he's sitting up there, and he's nervous as all get out because he's by himself. And Brother Godfrey, the leader, says, we have one more. I need one of you trainers to take an extra trainee. And I thought to myself, this is my first time being a trainer. I'm going to be lucky to train one. I can't do two. And you know what? Everybody else there must have been thinking the same thing because nobody raised their hand, and that guy's just getting more nervous. His name was Dan Poole. And so Dan finally this is exactly the way he was. And then he finally leans over and says, it's okay. Maybe I should just go to another ministry. I mean, that's what he said. So Jerry Ross, I raise my hand, you know. I can't let that kid. I mean, I feel terrible for him. And I'm like, no. I'll take you, man. Come on. And I got two guys. And I feel like I hardly know anything myself. And now they gave me two, not one, but two. And one of them is this nervous wreck. One guy was pretty good. He seemed to have his act together. He'd had a little experience. He was pretty easy to train. Danny was just a basket case, man. Every verse I would try to get him to memorize, he'd get the words mixed up. And I'd quiz him in the car, you know. I mean, you know, come on, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. And the simple ones, he kept messing them up. And I said, listen, you just need to listen and go with me. And he was nervous. When I got to the door, and I'd be standing there, like I'd step forward to knock at the door, and then I, you know, we're trained to take a step back. You don't want to be right there, you know, with your nose against the glass when somebody opens the door. So Danny was so nervous. He was like this kid. It's like he's always too close to me, all right? And so I'd step forward to knock on the door, and he'd step over, and I'd step back, and I'd run into him. And then he'd jump back and go, you know, like, I mean, he was a mess. And every time I'd talk, he'd sit there, and the guy's not even listening to me. He's watching this nervous, you know, is this guy a serial killer? Is he getting ready to, I mean, is he on medication? Does he have, I mean, he's just a mess. And you know, bless his heart, it's the way he was. But you know what? Hey, he took a step of faith. Hey, he showed up at Bible college. That took some guts. Okay, he left his home church, his mom and dad, and came to Bible college. Obviously, it's hard for him to meet people, and yet here he is. He joins a ministry where he knows, you know what? He joined a ministry because he wanted to learn how to win some. You know, he probably prayed the same prayer I prayed. Maybe made that same trip to an altar. Probably the biggest dream in his mind is maybe I could win one before I die. So, man, I just decided I'm spending extra time with this young man, and I did. I worked with him and worked with him, worked with him. I made him practice on me like I was lost, you know, and made him sit down and go through the plan and go through it and go through it. And finally the day come where I'm like, I think he can get through it. I mean, at some point, you just, you know, you got to throw them in the deep end, all right? Some point. So I said, Danny, this is your door. Oh, he just looks at me. I said, it's your door. He's like, I'm not ready yet. Yes, it's your door. You got to go. He's like, okay. I thought he was going to hyperventilate. He walks up, and he's so nervous, he goes, da, 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 da. He says, back like that. I'm like, just looking at him, man. And he's nervous, and the guy comes to the door, and it's this guy about, I don't know, just maybe 19, 20 years of age, just a young guy. And Danny, he first thing out of his mouth is he says, hello, we're from First Baptist Church. I'm Jerry Ross. No, he's Jerry Ross. And I'm Dan Pohl. And this guy's looking at him like, what is wrong with you? And he looks at me like, help me. And I'm like, go, man. And he says, he says, we're just here to tell you how you can go to heaven. And this young guy looks at him and says, wow. He said, you know what? My grandma died last week. And for a week I've been thinking about, all she'd talk about how she knew she was going to heaven. And he looks at me like, take this guy. And I'm like, nope, you take him. He got some of the verses mixed up. He got them out of order a little bit. He talked like way too much. He explained things like through about three times. But you know what? God had prepared that soul. And there's nothing more fun than being a soul winner and knocking on a door where God's already done it. And by the way, God has to already do it. We can't do it. And he got done and looked at that guy. And this guy, he kind of looked at me and kind of smiled like, and he literally said this to me. He's like, he's new at this, right? Yeah, he kind of is. He said, you know what? That's all right. He said, what's your name? And he said, Dan Poole. He said, Danny, you're an answer to prayer. And he bowed his head and he started asking Jesus to say, you know what I'm trying to tell you is this. Here's what Jesus said. Hey, you got to leave some stuff. And by the way, if you're going to be a soul winner, you're going to find out you got to leave some stuff. Soul winning will clean your life up more than anything. Because if you really want to see somebody saved, you're going to have to figure out that, you know what, God uses clean vessels. You know, I don't have to preach a whole lot on sin and separation to people who want to be soul winners. Because you know what? If you're serious about getting people to heaven, you understand that there's some things that you're going to have to let go in order for people to believe you enough to listen to you. Makes sense? And so Danny led that guy to the Lord. And you know what? God's still looking for Danny's. And God's looking for people to just say, you know what? Is that invitation for me, preacher? I mean, if I follow Jesus, really follow him, I mean, with all my heart following him, do you think he could make me to become a fisher of men? And the answer is absolutely. I'm not going to have you bow your heads on this. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have family members that are unsaved? I'll raise my hand. You have family members that are unsaved. How many of you have friends? I mean, friends. You would count as friends, but they're without Jesus Christ as Savior. How about that? Isn't that something? How many of you work somewhere and you say, preacher, where I work, there's people that I know pretty well, but they're lost. Would you raise your hand? How about that? How about that? You know what? They're waiting. They need somebody. Somebody to take that step of faith. Somebody to say, you know what? I'll obey. Somebody that says, Lord, I can't do it, but if you can make me to become, I'm here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would use the message to stir something deep in the heart of your people. And Lord, it's been the joy of my life through public preaching and personal soul winning. I mean, all I ever thought, Lord, let me win one. And Lord, I wonder, I stand in amazement through the years how you saw that young boy that didn't have a clue, but had a heart's desire and was willing to take some steps of faith and willing to alter his life and willing to deal with things when needed and clean up some things that needed to be cleaned up and get to the point where he could be used get to the point where he could have the power of God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit and get to the point where he could be a soul winner. Lord, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for this journey. Because, Lord, you've answered my prayer far beyond anything I could imagine. And yet, I believe there's so much more. There's so much more. Lord, I pray, dear God, that what you've done in my life, dear Lord, although I have not arrived, you'll help me to spend, Lord, much time in 2017, dear Lord, training and mentoring, working with people, dear God. And Lord, I'm excited about this coming year. And I would ask, Lord, that you just turn Blessed Hope Baptist Church into just a beehive of activity when it comes to this matter of winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that for some people that begins this morning with a step of faith, a step of faith. Maybe some have led souls to Christ, but they know that they have not tapped into their full potential. Maybe for some people this is a new idea. But Lord, when we get to the end of this thing, everything on this earth is going to burn with a fervent heat. Lord, there isn't going to be anything in eternity except the souls of men. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us do something sweet during this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.